coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It was double Honda action at the Honda Classic. I delivered yet another winner to the people. We get into the free money giveaway going on right here on this podcast and on the LPGA Tour in Thailand. We had a new winner as well to get to, plus some live golf drama and ratings comparisons that will make you laugh for sure. Plus, we're tuned into flights, education, Picard Season 3, and this week's guest, golf fashion icon, former fashion editor for Golf Digest, Mr. Style himself, Marty Hackle, joining the show to talk Tiger's fashion and the evolution of fashion in golf, too. And we've got a condiment hypothetical coming your way when we always end with food, all of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. They make the phone caddy, and we love the phone caddy because it's that safe, defendable accessory that you need to keep your phone safe and in its place at all times throughout your round. The phone caddy basically wraps quickly around the pole in your golf cart and keeps your phone safe and secure, and it keeps it open so you can have the apps open for scoring. You can see what's going on in the world, and you can keep your phone safe and not have it fall out of one of those dreaded compartments in your golf cart. So again, check out Desert Fox Golf, the phone caddy, and everything else they have to offer with their wonderful array of products at desertfoxgolf.com and desertfoxproducts.com. Promo code Course of Life. Again, promo code Course of Life, Desert Fox Golf.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Voris Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, you are a money-making machine.
Thank you.
Because for the, fourth time this year?
Correct.
You have correctly picked who will win a PGA Tour event. This time getting the 24-1 odd winner of Chris Kirk, who prevailed over Eric Cole in the playoff. Kirk's first win in 8 years after hitting rock bottom and going sober and refines his game and retains it. I think we can call him a journeyman at this point.
Definitely.
The Honda Classic at PGA National Palm Beach. Just a fantastic ending to a week of good golf from guys that a lot of people have not heard of.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you get these non-designated events is you're clearly going to see a difference in field quality. But what it does present is opportunities for the little guys and the Monday qualifiers and the journeyman and the mini tour pros that we profile so much on the show and love to talk about. It's great to see guys like an Eric Cole get that first glimpse of the national and worldwide stage and compete on the PGA Tour and have that week of his life to change the complexion of his career. Very neat to see. And like you said, also that amazing journeyman story of Kirk persevering and really getting down to that rock bottom, you know, with issues with alcohol and potentially losing not only his grip on life, but his family as well, too. He corrected all that and has made a real renaissance-like comeback. And I had him, like you mentioned, at 24-1 to get that first win in 8 years. I feel like I'm now just winning with style points at this point, Mike. I'm winning in all sorts of different ways, favorite or not. I've got the winners here. So if you're interested in making free money this spring for whatever purpose, you're going to want to go ahead and continue to follow my picks each week.
I mean, remind me how many correct picks you had last year.
I think it was 5 all year, but there was I'm throwing one live pick in there generously. So I'd say 4 PGA Tour winners overall. That's all of 2022. We've already hit that mark this year in 2023 with the winners. We're going to keep them rolling. This is that time of the year when golf fans are really dialing in how much they tune in as the tournaments get bigger and bolder, and there's more on the line as we head towards major championship season. So I'm here for the people, okay? I will continue to provide winners. All I ask is that you listen to this podcast, you like and subscribe our content, and you come back weekly, and then in turn, I give you money in the form of free winners in the PGA Tour. I think that's a pretty reasonable agreement.
It is pretty. I think it's perfectly reasonable. This is why I'm not even going to bother giving picks anymore, because why? You're just going to get it right.
I am white hot right now. I'm not afraid to admit it either, because you have to embrace these moments when you are picking week in and week out. There's going to be ebbs and flows. We've seen me be cold for months and months at a time. That has happened. We know what that looks like. This is not that moment right now. So everyone jump on board. It's at Course of Life One on Twitter. And runyourpool.com is where I put weekly previews, breaking it all down. I told you exactly why Chris Kirk finished top 10 here last year and was going to be great at the Honda. I told you why he took the week off before and didn't play the Genesis because he knew how badly he wanted to play well at the Honda. These are things you need to consider when you're making your picks. And unfortunately, I'm doing that for you. So you're welcome out there.
Let's also talk about Johnny Vegas. I think we remember him breaking out on tour a number of years ago and yeah. We just thought he was going to make the big thing. He hasn't turned to the next big thing, but he did have a 61 watch going on after he shot 29 on the front nine on Sunday. But he followed it up with an abysmal 35. And I say abysmal because it included a double bogey on 15, where his second shot out of the bunker on the par three went into the water. And yep. He went all the way back to the tee box.
A great egg on face moment.
I mean, honestly, though, at the same time, he got it like 50 feet from the cup and then drained his putt. So
a great five is what you're saying, or something like that?
Arguably it was a great five, but at the same time, it was a horrendous five. And he finished. Yeah.
That's the journey of the game and a round of golf right there in a nutshell. Guy has 29 on the front, a bad 35 with an embarrassing egg on face, like hand over my face embarrassment moment for a PGA Tour pro. Only that can happen in the game of golf. And that was reflected on the biggest stage last week. Eric Cole, you know, lifelong journeyman. This guy has a 10-foot putt to potentially get into a playoff. Of course it lips out. Of course it does a near 180 degree lip out. Why? Because golf is a mean game that gives you very little back in return. And it's diminishing returns for moments of greatness. So it's a tough game, but we love it. And that really is it in a nutshell between Eric Cole and Johnny Vegas and all the craziness of the Honda.
Just crazy what happened there. You know, there was another Honda event going on opposite the Honda Classic.
Yeah,
and that was all the way on the other side of the world in Thailand for the LPGA Honda. It's actually, I think it was called the Honda LPGA Thailand.
I didn't even realize that the double was going on. You're actually the first person to just bring this to my attention. How did nobody on Twitter get that all week? Interesting.
I don't know. But Lelia Vu of America took her first LPGA Tour victory. Over, I'm not even going to bother.
I wanted you to go for the second place finisher's pronunciation.
Nathakrita Vongtavilap.
Amazing. It truly is a worldwide tour on the LPGA. And we exemplify that through the form of your wonderfully awkward pronunciations of people on the leaderboard. But you know Lelia Vu. We've seen her on the radar of LPGA events for the last couple of years. And she's burst on the scene, officially got that first win. And she did it. I watched the finish in the Saturday night in the Sunday morning golf recorded. And it was done with short game, Mike. It's like, it's just all those 6-10-footers for par when you need it. It's all those up and downs, chipping it up nice and close. And it was culminated with an unbelievable up and down 18 on a nervy little chip shot. You know, all those shots that we can hit occasionally, they hit them all the time on the LPGA Tour. So shout out to Lelia Vu for getting the win.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. LPGA Tour, I think they stay out there now for another event.
Singapore,
coming up next.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in their Asian swing. So they'll be out there again for more overnight golf. So you can just stay up all night, watch golf, and then during the day, watch more golf.
That's right.
This weekend, the LIV Golf Tour was at Mayakoba. PGA Tour, I guess, doesn't go there anymore, which was, you know, isn't that what Pat Perez kept saying? We're here.
Yeah,
in the
PGA
Tour, he loved
taking that victory parade. Oh, congrats, LIV Golf. You took down Mayakoba. I don't know how the PGA Tour is ever going to recover, is what I tweeted, Mike.
I don't know either. But hey, let's just point out that someone other than the four aces won the team portion of the event by a whopping 9 strokes.
Yeah, no thanks to Bryson DeChambeau. God.
Yeah.
He stunk, but his team was great. Chucky Three Sticks, Charles Howell with the win in Mayakoba. Haven't seen him lift a trophy in a long time. But the elephant in the room was the fact that we were now seeing the LIV Golf events on the CW network. And the broadcast really didn't look much different than the 2022 stream. Lots of jokes made about the very low, abysmally low rating of 0.2 for the weekend broadcast. In fact, I did a quick look down the list of programs that actually beat out Live Golf for ratings in the CW network. And there's a show called World's Funniest Animals that got a higher rating than the Live Golf broadcast on Saturday afternoon. Mind you, they had that on for 5 hours Saturday afternoon.
Oh, man.
All jokes aside, Mike, I might give World's Funniest Animals a watch over Live Golf. That actually seems like an intriguing concept. I'm kind of sad I haven't run into that show before, actually.
I mean, if I got the CW, maybe I would watch World's Funniest Animals.
it sounds intriguing. Like, I mean, yeah, how are they actually funny? Yeah. I need to know how they're funny. What was less funny was the ratings, though, like I mentioned for Live Golf. It was a productive week in that the tournament happened and year two is underway. Very sparse crowds, though. If you don't live outside of that golf Twitter sphere, or you didn't swing by CW and catch the action, you would have missed a lot of what happened. But yeah, bottom line is there was a different champion. So shout out to someone other than the four aces winning on the Live Tour.
All right, let's look ahead to this next weekend. Alex, I know the event that you are most looking forward to writing your Run Your Pool article about is the Puerto Rico Open, featuring just an hour away from me, Georgia Southern's Ben Carr, last year's U.S. amateur runner-up, is making his PGA Tour debut ahead of this year's Masters.
See, this is why you're here, is you're making sure that I'm checking in on the little guys. Here I am, you know, already handing in my API Bay Hill preview this week. And I just completely glazed over the fact that we got an opposite field event. So it's doubled the PGA Tour golf this week. So thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is an event full of talent from Ben Carr. We also got 21-year-old Akshay Bhatia.
Oh yeah, he went shirtless in the mud. If you saw on Twitter this past weekend, he had quite a love affair with getting in the water at PGA National.
Yep, we got Rafael Campos, we got Noah Goodwin, we have Jiří Zuzka.
All your biggest players in the world of golf, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of guys out here looking to make a splash in this.
Now it's a great opportunity, though. Seriously, for the guys that don't normally get these PGA Tour starts that are able to. And the funny joke is they're plucking at the alternate list, and there's like champions from 1995 that like might be in the field this week. That's how low the Puerto Rican Open field's going. But the elephant in the room, like we got to before, is the API at Bay Hill. That's where everyone's focused because, alas, it is a designated event, Mike. It's funny, this field used to be pretty mediocre to subpar in recent years. And now all of a sudden, wow, would you look at that? All of the top players in the world are here. I wonder what changed. I'm just trying to put my finger on what may have changed from last year to this year with this tournament, but I can't imagine it's money or anything like that. That's the last thing on their minds, right?
It's got to be a $20 million purse. It's got to be that.
$3.6 million to the winner. Another go-around at a designated, aka special, aka whole lot of more money being given away event on the tour. You got to go with one between Rom, Rory, and Scheffler. Who do you like this week? I like Scheffler as the defending champion to probably play well again. Who do you like out of those three right there, though?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to actually make money betting someone other than John Rahm.
Yeah, you are. That's right. You are. I'll give you one more name. Will Zalatoris is a name that's on my list as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do for a big week.
I'm going to throw two other names out there. Okay. One, of course, is Max Homa.
Like that.
And the other one, because he's playing really well right now, Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. Hard to stay away from those guys too. A couple California guys bringing it to the East Coast. You heard a couple of my picks there. Again, check out runyourpool.com for the rest of my picks and the full preview. But that's a taste of who I like. And yeah, we're just going to keep this train rolling. The winners will roll on.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Before we get into what I actually am watching, Netflix, I don't know if you know this, Netflix now has this couple different interactive programs on there, mostly trivia based things where you get asked questions. They have one called Triviaverse, where you can actually play against somebody and you do trivia questions, which is really cool. And play it every once in a while. It's a good little, like, you know, get your feet wet before you spend the next 30 minutes deciding what you're not going to watch on Netflix. And One of the questions was, what bird term in golf describes a score over par?
Oh, interesting. Your Netflix world really hit home here.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And there was birdie and there was eagle. And I think it was condor. And then it was pigeon. And I was like, I have never heard of condor or pigeon. And I picked condor, which was incorrect. And the answer was pigeon. So I went to the Googles because I have no idea what a pigeon is.
Wow.
And the only thing a condor, as you helped educate me on as well, I think a condor is a four under par in a hole.
I'd heard that once before. Yeah. Once.
So a pigeon, from all I can find out, is what golf hustlers call someone that you think you can beat. So I would be a pigeon to almost any golf hustler.
I appreciate your self-deprecation there and immediately calling yourself out as a pigeon there. That's very nice of you.
But I can find no reference to a pigeon being an actual score term in the game of golf. So if you're out there listening and you know what a pigeon actually is, please tell me. You know what we need to do, actually? We need to call up Dr. Byrne
and see if he knows. Okay, we're going to have him join a future episode, so I will establish communication with him as we get closer to that interview airing, and we will have that conversation. I will
have to find out. We're definitely going
to find out. Pigeon, though, that's a weird one. I can't quite say I've ever heard that word associated with golf like that.
Yeah, I have no idea. But besides that, what I'm actually watching is season 3, the final season of Picard on Paramount Plus. As a true Star Trek Next Generation nerd, the whole cast is back together. We're getting the band back together for this final season. They're all coming back. Geordi, Dr. Crusher, they're all there for season 3 of Picard.
There's something about just a reunion cast of one of your favorite shows that if you're just a true fan, you know, it doesn't really even have to maybe live up to the expectations of the product of the show. It's just the warm fuzzies, you know, it's just that reunion vibe. And how can that not hit you in the feels? So I get I get the vibe.
Exactly.
Cool. Season 3 of Picard. Love it. A couple things coming at you. First, my stream update. You know me, I'm obsessed with the planes in the sky. I've dialogued before that I love my Flight Radar 24 app, and I'm always following where planes are going. Well, I didn't even realize this, but thanks to the YouTube algorithm, I've now been drawn into the world of live streams of airports. So we just have live streamers on YouTube that are just posted outside LAX or, you know, JFK, and you can just watch live video with commentary. And they even have the air traffic control audio as well of planes landing. So my dream is just being further fulfilled of playing content all over the internet.
I just want to point out, as someone who has a brother who is an air traffic controller, what you're probably actually listening to is the tower. You're not actually listening
general tower which audio feed that they put over the broadcast.
They are air traffic control. They are an air traffic controller. They are part of the FAA, but they work in the tower. So.
Anyway, the streams are fascinating. So check out LA Flights if you're interested in some planes landing live anywhere around the world. And then my second shout out to what I'm tuned into. Everyone loves legendary Fox Sports former CBS broadcaster Gus Johnson. Fox aired a really cool special on Gus Johnson, of all things, Mike, going back to get a fellowship degree at Harvard University. He had some connections to the basketball program there, and they showcased a really cool special about him literally flying back to Boston every Sunday night, going to school at Harvard Monday through Thursday, and then flying to whatever game he was calling every Saturday throughout football season. It was a fascinating documentary about a guy who's got a lot more behind the electric personality you hear on those famous calls. So Back to School with Gus Johnson. If you can find that on demand somewhere, very good watch for sports fans.
Does he say rise and fire?
Yes, we get the overlay of all his best calls and his best moments. It's funny. You don't often get to see the camera focusing on Gus Johnson in the booth as he makes the call. You only hear Gus Johnson's call, but to actually see Gus Johnson make the call, definitely one of the coolest parts of the special as well.
All right, there you go. Back to School with Gus Johnson. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest, and we're focusing on style this week. And Alex, you and I, we've talked about style on the golf course before, and I think our opinions are you should look like you belong. however, comma, wear whatever the wear whatever you want. It's
yeah,
okay.
And the really interesting part, and that's a great segue to this guest coming up, is that our next guest comes from a different generation as us, but he has the exact same opinions, and he has a very cool way of explaining how he views fashion and when it doesn't work on the golf course. Talking about Mr. Style himself, like I mentioned at the top, Marty Hackle, a really neat guest that brings a lot of fashion and perspective from his years in the game to the podcast. So this is a good one. Be sure to tune in.
We'll have Marty in just a second. But first, let's talk fashion with Voris Golf, because they do create sharp, high style polos, hats, and of course, their golf glove with their Thru-Tets technology.
Indeed.
We've seen plenty of pictures of you, Alex, sporting the polo, sporting the hat.
Yeah, I just went to a Top Golf Waco this past weekend, and I was rocking the V. I was showing a few people there the Thru-Touch technology on the glove, and they were very impressed with it. And you know I love that hat. That gray hat fits me like a glove. So yeah, apparel and gloves, they do it all.
And you can save money with us too, so you can be fashionable, but not, you know, spend $1,000.
Fashionable here at the Course of Life.
While I do like some of those other name brands out there, which I'm not going to mention by name, they are very expensive. So for Voris, we can save you 18% off everything, everything, the polos, the hats, the gloves, anything else that may be there as well. COL18 is the promo code, saves you 18% off anything and everything at vorisgolf.com. That's VORAUS golf.com. Voris, it's German for advancement, and they certainly are doing that in enhancing the golf experience. Again, vorisgolf.com, COL18, to save you 18%.
All right, next up, live from the PGA show floor on the Course of Life here. Really cool guest that I've been following for a long time in my game of golf life here. He is a longtime contributing editor, Mr. Style, Marty Hackle himself. Marty, how are you doing today?
Doing great, because I'm doing a lot of shopping.
You are, yes, that's right. I mean, this is a shopper's heaven. For people who haven't been to the PGA show, describe the ubiquitousness of fashion brands that are on display here in the game of golf.
Everyone who's anyone is here showing their new stuff, and it's really exciting. And the other part that's brilliant are the number of people that are here this year, Alex. This place is packed.
It took off from last year. Last year was my first show, so that was my context, which is a bit of a trimmed down show. This is absolutely the real deal, I've been saying. Yeah,
this is the way, and you'll hear this a lot.
Yep.
This is the way it used to be years ago. You couldn't even walk down the aisle.
It's great to see the growth indeed. And obviously, not only in the game of golf, but the fashion of the game as well, too. You're always known for being a dapper dresser yourself. Very nice, subtle, understated look here. I'm appreciating it. Walk through the outfit for our listening audience who can't see it on video.
It's sort of a shirt jacket that I think is the new style, rather than get dressed up in a suit. Sid Mashburn, always doing great stuff. It's got a bunch of stores around the country. Atlanta, Houston, L.A.
Love it.
Really cool. And, of course, you know, some polo, some fun shoes.
Classics.
Just comfortable is really what's the keynote, because we're really working. So we want to be comfortable in those clothes. And, you know, my ground rule, Alex, is if you have to look in the mirror for longer than 5 seconds, go change.
Good rule of thumb indeed. I like that. Let's talk about what looking in the mirror looks like for golfers and how that's evolved. You have been very ahead of the curve on golf fashion and its importance in the game and its place in the game. And talk to me about what that was like at the beginning, you know, convincing executives and TV networks and publications to cover more fashion in the game of golf.
When I started, Alex, at Golf Digest 20 years ago as the fashion director, people looked at me and said, "You're the what?"
Yeah.
Fashion?
It's an interesting title
director?
Back then. Yeah, it is.
And no one really knew what the heck that meant. And here's what it meant to me then and what it still means to me now. And this was really what Golf Digest really took a step ahead of everyone and said, you know what? Look good, feel good, play good.
Love that.
And what we want to do is sort of the fashion nistas of the business, is we want to help people look as good as they can look. And that's always been my goal, is to be able to encourage people to look as good as they can look. And boy, we've had some specimens out there that have come a long way.
They have. Yeah. Let's talk about the goat specimen as well, too, because I know you've had some interesting interactions with Mr. Tiger Woods himself back in the day, styling him for different shoots. I want to hear specifically about his fashion evolution, because if you remember the early Tiger days, they are like night and day to the way he dresses himself now. Talk to me what you remember most about those earliest interactions with Tiger.
Alex, if you look at those old photographs of of Tiger, what you'll see is sort of the MC Hammer look, where those pants were huge.
Massive.
You know, and
flopping in the wind.
I don't blame Michael Jordan, but I think Michael had a little bit of influence over Tiger.
Right.
Tiger had some pants made there. Of course, Nike has always made his clothing, and they've worked diligently to encourage him, along with me, to get a better fit. And I'll tell you what, when you're working with someone in photography and you get to see them take their shirt off and you get to see their physique, and if anyone's ever seen Tiger Woods with his shirt off, trust me, it's a scary look. This guy has shoulders that go forever and there's no waist. So he looks like a Greek god in the gym. And I always felt, hey, Tiger, let's encourage that look. Let's try to make you look a little bit more athletic. Now, in the beginning, Earl never wanted to spend money on clothes.
Okay.
So Earl gave Tiger his shirts. Now, Earl was an extra large. Tiger was never an extra large, but that was familiar. And a lot of times we do things style-wise because they're familiar, so we get comfortable with that look.
Yep. Very cool. Very good perspective. So I guess he eventually thinned out the pants. He got to the form fit. How long was the turnaround time after you maybe spoke with him until he started adopting your ways?
Probably, I think it took 2 or 3 years. And Amy Reynolds at Nike, thank you very much for supporting all of this, because you were the biggest influence.
Love that. Well said. Marty Hackle, Mr. Style, joining us here live on the PGA show floor. So let's talk about the evolution of fashion specifically on the tour. And I know you've always been, you're not today, but you've always been big on some bright colors. Brightness has really hit a lot in recent years, too. Talk to me about just what fashion looks like on the modern day tour.
You know, a lot of times I tell people, dress how you feel. You know, if you get up in the morning and you've got a lot of energy and you feel great, then, you know, roll the dice a little bit. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Now, don't complicate things and get jazzy with everything. Pick one thing to get jazzy about. Maybe it's a belt. Maybe it's a color of your trousers. Maybe it's your shirt. Maybe it's your hat. You don't have to go all out and do everything.
Yeah, well said. I appreciate that. And one guy who I want you to talk about on the game who has done a very good job of maturing his style, I think, is Ricky Fowler. He started off with lots of the biggest, boldest, brightest colors, but then over the years, I think we've seen a little bit more of a toned down look as he's matured with age. Talk to me about how that style journey evolves golfers over the decades with age.
Well, you know, once again, if you look at photographs of Ricky Fowler when he was at Oklahoma State and made it to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and you look at those orange pants that he wore on Sunday,
he did.
Those things, a family could live in those pants.
They were rather large.
Over the years, you know, and I think Puma did an excellent job with them, and they really worked with them. They got the fit down perfectly, and Rory became very, very comfortable getting sort of, you know, dressed with some style and had a huge influence. You know, he was the first guy that I remember that wore a shirt out in Hawaii at Kapalua, and he looked terrific. This year we saw J.J. Spahn do that.
You read my notes, Marty, because I was going to ask you about the untucked shirt from J.J. Spahn.
And you know what? The untucked shirt is perfectly acceptable at the right place, at the right time, if it fits. And fit is very important here. The front of the shirt and the back of the shirt have to be the same length. An untucked shirt should be slightly shorter than a traditional length of a shirt. Mm. But I think at the right time in the right place, it's perfectly fine. So I don't think that clubs around the country should universally say, okay, it's good for everyone. Let's let this evolve a little bit.
Yeah, there is some context, exactly. It's when you can break out certain athletes. I appreciate that. Give me an example of maybe a tour player or two that we haven't brought up yet that you really enjoy their style or you're seeing a lot from them from a fashion perspective that you think is going to kind of move golf fashion forward.
Well, one of the people I see when I go to Sid Mashburn and I shop is Keith Mitchell.
Oh, okay.
And I think Keith Mitchell is great. Yes, a Georgia guy. And everything that he wears is 100%. It's 100% cotton. It's 100% wool. And he always looks stylish. And he wears that visor. So maybe the visor's coming back, Alex.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. I haven't thought about that. I haven't worn a visor in 15, 20 years. Is it my time, maybe?
Yes, maybe. Start thinking about that.
Okay, I will. All right. And then on the other side as well, too, there are a ton of women's golf fashion brands here at the PGA Show. And the fashion evolution on the LPGA has been really neat in recent years as well. So who strikes you out there on the women's circuit that dresses particularly nicely?
Well,
it's hard to pick one or two, but
Danielle King always looks great. Mm. And here at the show, we've seen, you know, a lot of great women's collections. Foray Golf always looks good. I think Ralph Lauren and RLX for Women is terrific. Peta Millar. There are tons of good people now making women's stuff.
Yeah, Danielle Kang, definitely moving it for sure. All right, let's do some quick yes or no's here with Mr. Style, Marty Hackle, live at the PGA Show. You already got to the untucked shirt. Right time, right place. It's okay. The next one is the hat backwards on the golf course. Where do we stand on that?
Not on the golf course. Definitely off your head when you're indoors. But I think occasionally, right time, right place, it's okay. No worries. I've worn my hat backwards at times.
Okay. Yeah. And I think the 19th hole, you're right. There is something. Yeah. I appreciate the idea of taking it off there.
And if it's windy, Alex,
sometimes
you need it.
Yeah, the wind prevention.
You do need it backwards.
No.
And when I play Butler, the par 3 course in Austin,
yes,
Texas, I definitely wear my hat backwards there.
My favorite. It's funny. Sort of going for a full circle. I just saw Keith Mitchell play in the Tito Shorty's Classic there at Butler. So he had a fun time and a fun afternoon there.
Yeah.
It's good to see his fashion as well, too. The next one I wanted to ask about, which is everywhere, what I'm wearing right now, joggers, hoodies, the modern day kind of tracksuit golf outfit that we're seeing a lot on the tour. Where does that stand with you?
Well, I think comfortable technical fabric is great, Alex. And joggers are good for people that are comfortable wearing joggers. And once again, if you have to look in the mirror for longer than 10 seconds and asking yourself, is this okay? It probably isn't. So please go change.
Wait.
Now, Sam Ryder, I think, looks great in joggers.
Watching him this week. Yeah, he does. 5 seconds or 10 seconds on that mirror check? What was that?
Could be 5 to 10.
All right, I'll go 7.5. Split the difference. Love it. And then denim jeans is the last one. Do those belong on the course?
Denim jeans are great. Probably not on a golf course.
Fair enough. Yeah. I don't think I've ever tried it. I've seen it done in Texas a lot, though. That's for sure.
Well, the reason why it works sometimes on occasion is if they're properly designed and properly styled.
Okay.
You can take a jean material and make it into a trouser, a nice denim material, and make it into a trouser, and it will work. The problem with saying that jeans, denim jeans are okay, is then you have torn denim jeans. Yes. And then some people take it a bit too far.
Nobody wants
that. And once again, you need some good judgment there.
Definitely love it. All right, let's wrap up with our 19th hole question, which we asked to all our guests. So you've gotten into the clubhouse after a round of golf. The hat comes off. What is your go-to order, your favorite meal and drink to have at the 19th hole?
Well, let me tell you a story. The first time, okay. The first time Arnold Palmer went into a bar and said to the waitress, could you give me a glass with some ice and about 2/3 iced tea and then top it off with 1/3 of lemonade? The waitress looked down at him and said, oh, you want an Arnold Palmer. And he was so taken aback. He didn't say, I'm Arnold Palmer. He said, that's exactly what I want. So that's probably my go-to drink.
Can't beat an AP to end the day. I love it. Marty, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Best of luck with everything at the show. And Mr. Style, as always, thank you.
Alex, great. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
And we're back. Great chat there with Marty. You know, it's interesting. Do we think if he hadn't told Tiger to wear more form-fitting clothing, that we'd still be wearing super baggy pants and baggy shirts and everything? Is that just would have continued forever, do you think?
That's good food for thought right there. So maybe that was like a sliding doors moment in the history of golf fashion right there. Marty Hackle was the right man at the right time to tell Tiger to get out of his father's old pants. That's possible. Yeah.
Maybe. You never know.
Love it. Now, really cool catching up with Mr. Style. You heard his stories right there. It was neat meeting him, and the guy's got a wealth of experience in the game, and I trust his tips as well, too. He laid out exactly when it is and isn't right for the most important things that we wear on the golf course. So be sure to follow Marty on Instagram and check out his content as well.
And if you like that conversation with Marty, plus everything else we do here on the podcast, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app of your choice, probably the one you're listening to us on right now. Leave us a rating, 5 stars. Unlike in golf, the more stars means you like us more. It's better with stars.
We want a higher score in this case. Yeah.
We want a pigeon, whatever a pigeon is.
You're not interested in a condor for our rating?
No, I don't want a condor.
Okay, got it.
We want whatever a pigeon is. That's what we want here.
Okay.
You can follow us on Instagram, COL Podcast. He's Course of Life, Alex. I'm MWRINC. We're on Twitter. That's where we talk most of the week. He's Course of Life 1. I'm MWRINC. We're on YouTube as well. You can watch some of these interviews that Alex did at the PGA show in January. They're on our YouTube channel as well, so you can check it out there. That link is in the episode description box, wherever that is on your podcast app.
Definitely. We absolutely do it all. That was the kind of golf portion of the show. Now let's get into some other sporty sports. How's that sound?
Yeah. Sporty sports. That sounds real mature. Sporty sports.
Exactly. Yeah. Get to the real stuff. It's March Madness. March is here.
It almost is by the time this episode premieres on Tuesday evening.
Oh, yeah, baby. The fever.
I'm all in on Quinnipiac. How far are we going?
I mean, yeah, it's the MAC tournament time. And just like I highlighted it in this week's article, I did an article on the conference championship tournaments that are starting this week. This is week 1 of 2 before we finalize the bracket. And that includes probably the MAC getting going as well, too. And a lot of these schools and these smaller conferences like you and I are accustomed to, these are one bid conferences. So if you don't win your conference tournament, that's it. There's no hopes for an at-large bid like there is when you're a blue blood. You don't have to win your conference. So we'll be watching a lot of little guys this week. Check out runyourpool.com for my preview on those conferences. And then I also did a really neat piece on the wildest, craziest, and rowdiest student sections in college basketball as well, too. So be sure to read that. But yeah, March Madness in full effect. And all your March Madness plays stay right here with me in the Course of Life.
You know what else has started? And I'm super excited for it. It's baseball season, baby. It's baseball season.
Can you tell?
It's the least important time of the year.
I'm going to Red Sox spring training for the first time in like 20 years. That's how you know I'm excited.
You're going to get to watch them lose to the Astros.
The world champion trash can beating Astros. Yeah, yep,
that's them.
Probably will. Yeah, I'm going this Saturday. Course of Life, Alex, and COL podcast on Instagram. I'm going to be posting there all day Saturday. I got a great little day planned. It's Topgolf Fort Myers in the morning. And then we're heading right down the street to JetBlue Park, a.k.a. the mini Fenway. Well, I love what they've done there. It's beautiful Fenway Park vibes. And I'm going to be watching the Red Sox. So a little spring training action in Florida later this week. I'll have the full recap next week, too.
Is it a split squad? Do you know, or are you getting the whole team?
I think we're getting the whole team. Yeah, I think they are. Okay. I double checked it. I don't think it's a split squad. So I'm looking forward to seeing Jorge Alfaro. Hopefully Devers gets a couple of at-bats and people will be booing the Astros, even at Fort Myers, I think. So it should be an interesting day. And then I've also, we got to get into this. I got to be watching for all these new rules and these rule changes as well, too. Have you seen any of this?
So bigger bases, like 2 inches bigger.
Okay. I'll look out for that.
To encourage more base stealing. No shifts. You can't shift these guys to other sides of the bases anymore. There has to be two on each side of second base.
God, so many lefty rippers are loving that. They're like, thank God. I get my wealth back.
And pitch clock. It's here.
It is.
Controversial.
Chaotic ending to the Red Sox Braves game last Saturday that ended with a pitch clock call.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's just, what is it, 15 seconds or something like that you got to throw the ball. But if the batter takes too long to get in there, then it's going to be a strike, right? And if a pitcher just takes too long, it's a ball, right?
Two outs, 3-2 count, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, and the Braves batter stepped in to the batter's box too late. The batter needs to get into the box by the time we hit the 8-second mark on the pitch clock bike. So he stepped in too late. And before the pitch was even thrown, the home plate umpire signaled, up, too late, third strike. Game ended. Since it was spring training, game just ended in a tie on that ruling. Whoa. What a wild moment to kick off baseball in 2023. I can't wait to see all the frenetic and craziness that this causes in the months to come.
I mean, I think I've been on record. I'm not a fan of a pitch clock at all.
You're a purist. I wanted to know how you felt about this, because this is taking over sports right now.
The chess match between a pitcher and hitter is about taking longer, maybe stepping off, stepping out of the box. Yes, it takes a long time, and I don't know how you fix that, but I feel like a pitch clock removes that dynamic entirely.
Yeah, but this life, Mike, we got places to go, people to see.
I mean, how long does it take for us to watch? What takes less time? Okay. Watching the leaders tee off till they finish on the 18th green on Sunday at the Masters or baseball game.
That's a good question, actually. Yeah, it's pretty close these days. The PGA Tour starts instituting a shot clock. That could get closer as well. But
I'd be more okay with that, actually.
They did that once on the European Tour a couple of years ago, but they haven't done that event recently. So hopefully they bring that back one day. But regardless, I'll be watching for all the new craziness that is baseball in 2023. I'll have the full recap on next week's episode as well.
All right. For now, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, food segment to end every Course of Life podcast episode. I posted some really cool stuff at Always End with Food on Instagram. I don't know if you saw the pizza oven I got to enjoy this past weekend.
Yes.
Very cool. A friend of mine had it installed, a nice clay oven outside, about 850, 900 degrees that was clocking in at. Those pizzas, you got to constantly turn those bad boys. They cook fast in a clay oven like that. But it was an enjoyable food experience. So again, if you want to check out that pizza oven, it's Always End with Food on Instagram.
Yeah, I had food this weekend too.
You did?
Went to nice. We went out, little cheat meal on Sunday, met some friends out. Beautiful day in Savannah, it's like 80 degrees. I was wearing shorts on Sunday. Crazy. February shorts. Got some pizza. It was good pizza. It was cup pepperoni, which is the right kind of pepperoni, and bacon. And it was really good, but it was like $20.
What was like, that? Small, medium, large? How big was it? Would you say?
One size, it was like 14 inches.
Oh, yeah, it's like a medium.
It's like
$20. That's just freaking some places. That's the going rate these days. That's one of those foods, though. It's hard to justify paying $20 or more for a pizza.
Yeah,
it's just hard because you know what it consists of. It's like,
I mean, I will say it is so much better than like a $10 Domino's piece of crap. So
oh, yeah.
there okay. is that.
No debate there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Good pizza habit by all. Let's wrap with this hypothetical I wanted to get to. There was a fascinating story that came out, Mike. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a man that survived 24 days on a Caribbean island. I don't know if he was boat or shipwrecked or something like that, but he was able to survive 24 days eating only ketchup and garlic powder that he had on hand. Okay. So the hypothetical here is, Mike, you've got to live for 24 days. Your whole world has been rocked and you're on a deserted island. What is that one condiment that you're picking to eat for 24 days straight?
Well, ketchup is stable outside of a refrigerator.
It is.
So, because, you know, yes, we live, you and I both live in the South, and we know what happens to mayonnaise when it's out in the sun. So that's out.
Yep.
Ketchup is, it's made of tomatoes. That's a fruit. So
it's a pretty solid choice, actually. I think it's definitely in the top five.
Did he use the garlic powder to change the taste of the ketchup so it kind of varied for him from day to day?
That's fun. You know, it's like, hey, for lunch, I'm going to have original. And then for dinner, I'm going to have the spicy. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a tasting menu, if you will. You know?
You need variety in your life, even when you're stuck on a deserted island.
So I gave this a few more minutes of thought before I hopped on, admittedly. The things that I did lean into, or I started thinking about other times of the day, I think the answer that's like the smart person's answer is peanut butter, because it's loaded with protein.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's you a could healthy answer. Yeah.
That's like that kind of trumps the nature of the question. I was thinking like literally something that's got to go on like a hot dog or burger. And for that purpose, I think maybe the only rival will be relish, because I like pickles. And that's kind of a vegetable chopped up, and I could work with that maybe.
If refrigeration is not an issue, I would probably actually even err on the side of like a salsa, because you've got a couple of different things going on. Mm. It's low in fat. There isn't a ton of salt or anything going on there, so you're not worrying about maybe drying yourself out with it.
Yeah, and then you knock one of the coconuts down from the tree. You hack it open. You have some coconut chips to dip in the salsa, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so I think that's the right answer right there. So there's our condiment answer. Hit us up on Twitter with yours. He's at MWRINC. I'm at Course of Life 1. What one condiment do you think you could eat for 24 days to survive is the hypothetical. Again, always end with food on Instagram and COL podcast as well. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe if you already have not. And have a good week. We'll see you next week.